And now we're joined on Big Blue Kickoff Live by Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net. You can't find a better guy to talk about the NFL draft. Tony, how are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, thanks for being on. We appreciate you. You gave us some great info last year. We want to have you back on, and let's focus in on where the Giants pick at 19. And let's start here, Tony. What offensive linemen are going to be left on the board when the Giants select at number 19?
They could be really out of luck. I mean, they could all be gone. I had heard early on, alerted early on, that they like DJ Fluker. He's moving up draft boards. Someone had told me that they like, you know, they really like Chance Warmack. If they want him, they're probably going to have to trade up to get him. I don't see any offensive tackles or offensive guards, you know, available when the Giants select, unless someone slides down. I don't think Fluker's going to fall into the laps. I think they'll have to make a move if they want either of the Alabama offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's honestly what I'm seeing, too, taking a look at how these teams are moving around. So where do you think the value is going to fall? Are we going to have a defensive tackle like Sheldon Richardson slip to that spot? Where do you think the value is going to be when the Giants go at 19?
It could be tight end. I mean, if they want to look at Tyler Eifert of Notre Dame, a guy who I think would be a good fit for their offense, a complete tight end, a three-down player who can block, who can be used as a pass catcher. You give Eli Manning another pair of reliable hands. You kind of have him run some underneath stuff. You let Victor Cruz, open up the field vertically as well as Hakeem Nicks. You look at their situation at tight end. They could use some help there. I don't expect Eifert to be gone before the Giants select. I think that would be a good selection. I do think Sheldon Richardson will be gone. I mean, it starts to pick up at the cornerback slot later on in round one when the Giants select. So they're kind of in the middle of no man's land. It's going to be too late to get any of the top offensive linemen, and really, they don't need a receiver. Some of the cornerbacks may be a reach there. So I would say right now, from where I'm sitting and from what I'm hearing, Eifert would be a good selection for them.
Well, I want to talk about Eifert a little bit. And early on in this draft process, a lot of people were critical about his blocking skills. But from what I've seen, he really improved as a senior in terms of his blocking. As you know, Tony, the Giants need a complete tight end that can not only catch balls, but also block. Can he be a three-down player and a guy that's not only effective catching passes, but also protecting the quarterback and being a blocker in the running game?
It was never a question in my mind. I mean, you can go back to his freshman film. He was always a very good blocker. It's just a matter of him putting forth the effort. On an every down basis. He can be an inline blocker on both running and passing downs. I mean,
wow.
If it's third and two and you want him on the line to move the pile, he has the ability to do that. I don't agree with that criticism. Again, watching him over the long haul, not just watching him last year, watching him since he stepped on the field at Notre Dame, I think he's got the talents. He obviously has the speed. We saw how fast he ran at the combine. It's just a matter of applying that speed onto the football field. He's a good athlete. He's a natural pass catcher. Really has a lot of the tools. I don't think he's a consistent downfield threat, the Kellen Winslows, the Jeremy Shockeys that people are familiar with. But, he brings a lot more to the blocking areas of blocking than those players did.
You mentioned you kind of think the Giants are in the middle of no man's land. I kind of get that feeling, too, when you look at their needs and where this draft is headed. Do you think the Giants are a pretty good candidate to perhaps trade down, get an extra second or third round pick, move down eight or nine slots in that first round and still get a player that would be useful to them in that first round?
Well, I mean, it depends. Everyone talks about trading down. You talk about the teams at the top who want to trade down. If there's a seller, there has to be a buyer. So
right.
It depends who's on the board and who's, who is looking. I think it's possible they could look to trade down. They could also look to trade up. It's just a matter of, if one of the receivers falls, a Patterson falls or somebody like that, maybe Tavon Austin, although I don't think Austin will fall, just for hypothetical purposes. Maybe a team wants to move up to grab them. I think they're in a position where no team is going to want to move up from the early part of round two or so to grab one of the quarterbacks. I think it's a possibility, but again, there has to be a player there that someone else wants really badly for them to move up.
Tony, do you think there's a linebacker out there with a grade high enough to warrant consideration or a pick at number 19?
I don't. I do know that Arthur Brown of Kansas State is moving up draft boards quickly. He's a three-down defender. He's scheme diverse. You could use him in a 4-3, use him in a 3-4. He's terrific in pursuit. He has a lot of Ray Lewis-type characteristics. When Ray Lewis left Miami of Florida in 96 and entered the league, a little bit undersized, but very explosive, can go sideline to sideline. The Giants have had some success with those types of players. I think 19 is a little too early, but I would not knock it. You know, I would not say it's a definite no at this point because a lot of people like Brown. I think they underrated him coming into the season. He was a consistent player at Kansas State, went to his pro day, just blew it up. Guy with a decent amount of character, guy who works hard, a guy who really wants it. So I don't think Arthur Brown at 19 is out of the question for the Giants.
How about some of the defensive linemen that I've seen projected to go in that last 10 picks of the first round? You got Sylvester Williams in that mix. Tank Carradine, I know, is moving up a lot of draft boards. And then you have the big German kid out of Florida State, Bjorn Warner. How do you see some of those later first-round defensive linemen?
Well, Warner would be great value at 19. I mean, he was a guy who many of us, including myself, projected as top 10 picks. He could still go there. He's not a great athlete, but he's a good football player, and he's got great intensity. If he's there at 19, I think it's a value pick. I think it's a player that the Giants would jump on. I've always liked Cornelius Carradine. The funny thing about Cornelius Carradine is he was basically forced into the starting lineup when Florida State lost their other defensive lineman the first game of the year. And he really, in many ways, outplayed Bjorn Warner.
I mean,
he was a better run defender. He looked more athletic. He was well on his way to being a mid-first-round choice until he blew his knee out in the Florida game. Now, he's going to be working out for scouts on Sunday. The results of those workouts could determine, you know, where he goes in the draft. If he was healthy, if he had gone through the combine process, I would say 19 would be a perfect slot for him. Just don't know yet, coming off of that knee injury. Sylvester Williams, another favorite of mine. I think that here's another guy who I thought was underrated, a guy who can play on the nose, a guy who can play, you know, the under tackle position in a four-man line. You know, he's more than just a gap occupier. He's more than just a space heater. He's a decent athlete who can penetrate behind the line of scrimmage, change direction, and pursue the action outside the box. I think all three of those guys, Werner is excellent value. I think people will immediately look at Williams as a bit of a reach. I don't think so. I think he's a complete football player. And Carradine, because of the injury, he may be a guy that, you know, you take him now, you may not have the great production as a rookie, but two or three years down the road, you could have a star in the making.
Where do you see Kenny Vaccaro going, and how much better do you have him than that next group of safeties, which is pretty large, that are going the second and third rounds, that I know a lot of people think could be starters in this league?
Yeah, I think Vaccaro is going to go relatively early. I think he could go 14 to Carolina. He's going to go somewhere, he could go to Pittsburgh. He's going to go somewhere, you know, I think before the Giants select. I think he is significantly better than the next safety on my board anyway, Matt Elam. He's got better size. He's more stout against the run. When you get a guy who's that big like Vaccaro that you can use in a zone system, that you can ask to play a traditional center field, you know, safety spot where he goes sideline to sideline, occasionally line him up over the slot receiver, and he can do a good job. You know, that is a player that's going to be selected early. I think the problem with Vaccaro is, he doesn't always play up to his level of ability. He doesn't always play like a 6-foot, 214-pound safety who can really knock the head off the opposition. If you get him into a system and you get him to play up to his level of abilities, you know, you're going to have a starter. You can also have a potential Pro Bowl player on your hands.
I think it's kind of interesting that the Cowboys are picking right before the Giants at 18. I think both teams have similar needs on the offensive line and even on the defensive line to a certain extent. Do you see a situation possibly arising where the Cowboys might have someone in mind that they would take ahead of the Giants that might, say, motivate the Giants to try to trade up? Do you see that little back and forth between those two NFC East teams being interesting throughout the 3 days of the draft?
Well, I mean, it could be some of the players you already mentioned. I mean, I think the Cowboys would love to have Sheldon Richardson if he somehow, you know, filters down, somehow gets past the Carolina Panthers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they don't trade for Darrelle Revis. I also think the Cowboys would love to have DJ Fluker, you know, a guy that they can stick on the right side, or one of the top-rated guards, either Jonathan Cooper of North Carolina or Chance Warmack, who we spoke about. So they really have parallel draft needs, and I think in that vein, they're probably looking at the same players. Do either team move up? We'll have to wait and see. It depends on who starts to slide. If one of those players starts to slide, then the game is on to try and move up a couple slots to get them.
All right, a couple of big picture draft things before I put you on the spot and ask you who you think the Giants are going to pick. Do you think a running back or quarterback or both will go in the first round of the draft?
I've reported yesterday that the word is right now there's a very good chance that no running backs are selected in the first round. Eddie Lacy had a solid workout last week at Alabama, but it really did nothing to inspire people to say, yeah, this guy's a definite top 32 choice. So there's a good chance that no running backs are selected in round one. If that does happen, you could have as many as six ball carriers selected in round two. As far as the quarterbacks, I do think there'll be a quarterback selected in round one. I think that quarterback's going to be Geno Smith. I think he's worthy of a first-round pick. Yeah, he has a lot of some downside to his game, but he also has a lot of upside. He was a consistent performer on the college level, you know, played against different levels of competition in the Big East, in the Big 12. He's got a big-time arm. He's worked well. I know some of the criticisms that are out there. I don't agree with all of them. I do think some of his decision-making has to be really fine-tuned. His accuracy's got to be fine-tuned, but he's athletic. He can make all the passes, and I think, you know, down the road, he could be a good starter, which is why I think he'll be a first-round pick.
Two teams I think that are very interesting. I want to get your take on how you think they're going to go in that top 10. The first is the Philadelphia Eagles with their brand-new coach, Chip Kelly, and the second is the Chiefs, who have the Eagles' former head coach, Andy Reid. They've made a lot of moves. They're trying to make a playoff run this year. Where do you think those two teams are going to go with their top 10 selections?
The Chiefs are easy. I think they're going to go with one of the offensive tackles. I think the offensive tackles are the best players in this draft. Are top of the board. You know, you bring in Alex Smith, you better protect him.
Yep.
You franchise your offensive tackle. They're either going to trade him or you're going to move him to the right side. You know, when you get the opportunity to get a good pass blocker, you've got to take him. And I really don't think that they're going to take a Deion Jordan or another type of player like that, you know, ahead of one of the offensive tackles. The Eagles could go in a lot of directions. The Eagles are actually in a very good spot. I think they'll just sit there and wait for the draft to come to them. It could be whatever offensive tackle that is available to them that the Kansas City Chiefs don't take. It could be Jokel. It could be Eric Fisher. It could be Lane Johnson, who's moving up draft boards, because Lane Johnson has got an immense amount of upside. There are a lot of people who think that two or three years down the road, because of his size, his athleticism, his upside potential, he could actually be the best offensive tackle in this year's draft. They could go Lane Johnson. They could go Deion Jordan with that new defense that they're installing, be a natural fit for Chip Kelly. Or they could even trade down. I mean, there could be some teams who want to trade up to get, say, a D. Milliner of Alabama. Cleveland may want to trade up to secure him. Miami wants to trade up, may want to trade up to secure him. If the Jets and Tampa Bay don't work out the deal for Revis, Tampa Bay may want to trade up to grab D. Milliner. So I think the Eagles are in a good position. They could go offensive tackle. They could go Deion Jordan, maybe Sharif Floyd if he's there, or even trade down.
Where do you think that second group of cornerbacks is going to start to go off the board?
Second group of cornerbacks.
Cornerbacks. After Milner's gone, where do you think that next group of guys with Trufant is going to start flying off the board?
I think what will happen is Xavier Rhodes could go middle of round one, could go to Miami Dolphins. If the Jets make the trade for Rhodes, maybe could go there. I think Trufant is more of a late first-round pick guy, maybe to Denver, maybe to Atlanta. But I think what's going to happen is late part of round one, really through the middle part of round two, you're going to see a lot of cornerbacks come off the board. Jamar Taylor of Boise State, Bleedy Ray Wilson of UConn, local kid who's getting a lot of play, could go late first round, early second round. Darius Slay of Mississippi State and his teammate Jonathan Banks of Mississippi State, all those guys are really early second, mid-second round choices. So I think once we get into the later part of round one, you'll start to see a lot of cornerbacks come off the board.
Is Tavon Austin scaring people with his size, or are people mesmerized by his speed?
A little bit of both. It's not going to be as easy for him to come free on NFL fields where he's playing against 5'10", 6-foot safeties who run 4.3s as fast as he does. So he may be a difficult receiver to find, and you have to have a quarterback who can deliver the ball to him. I think his versatility, not only is a downfield threat, but to be used to run reverses, to run receiver screens, even as a return specialist, that is really what is key and what will push him up. And what usually, you know, when you have a receiver that small, he's a second-round choice, but his explosiveness and ability to be used in a variety of ways as a ball handler, I think helps him stay, you know, helps him go as a top 16 choice.
All right, Tony, where do the Giants go with the 19th overall pick in the 2013 NFL draft?
Well, considering I was so dead wrong last year, let's hope my fortunes are different this year. I'm going to say Tyler Eifert. I'm going to say Tyler Eifert because if they stand pat because none of the offensive linemen will be there. I don't think really any of the defensive ends or defensive linemen are worth it. I think, you know, you look at the need at tight end, you look at what Tyler Eifert brings, you look at the Giants' history of good tight ends from the Notre Dame system, and that sort of tight end, that sort of three-down tight end, you know, going back to the Parcells era, I think it's going to be Tyler Eifert.
And I'd be foolish if I didn't ask you about the second round really quick. A lot of people say this draft is deep. You can get a starter in the second round. Where do you, in terms, just not only a player, just in terms of position, where do you think the Giants can get a good value pick in that second round that maybe could even start this year for them?
Oh, I think three areas to look at. Wide receiver, if they want another wide receiver, which you always want to add weapons for Eli Manning. I think if you want to add a player in the secondary, either cornerback or safety, you will be able to get quality players at those positions, not only the second round, but the third round as well.
That's great stuff out of Tony Pauline, draftinsider.net. Tony, we appreciate the time. We'll catch up to you after the draft.
Thanks for having me.
And there you have it, Tyler Eifert, a guy, sorry about that, had the wrong mic up, a guy that a lot of people consider as a first-round pick, thinks he could go to the Giants here, which I think is interesting. I don't think a tight end's a good fit there. I think the Giants can plug and play in that position a little bit. But I thought it was interesting that Tony really thinks he's a two-way tight end, can block as well as catch. So I thought that was interesting. Anyway, two more calls on the board. We'll take them, then we'll say goodbye real quick. Let's get through them. Thanks for holding, guys. Let's go to Greg down in North Carolina. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, John. How you doing?
Doing well, Greg. What's going on?
All right. I know you're probably tired of hearing this question. I caught the show late.
That's all right. What's up?
It's the 19th. What's the deal with Victor?
You know what's funny? Believe it or not, Greg, you were the first Victor Cruz question of the show today.
Wow.
Believe it or not, you are. So I will. Here's what's going to happen. Today is the deadline for other teams to offer him a contract as a restricted free agent, right? So once that deadline passes, and I'm assuming no one's going to offer him a free agent deal, now Victor's going to have to reevaluate. He has two options. Well, three options, really. One, he could play under the tender, which is a huge risk. It's only a one-year deal for $2.9 million. If he gets hurt, he has no more guaranteed money. I don't think he's going to want to do that. It's too risky. Option number two is sign the long-term extension on the table that the Giants have offered to him. It'll make him a very rich man. He will be signed for 4 or 5 years, depending on what the deal is, for about $7 to $8 million, if that is where it lands. I'm thinking that's where it is going to land, which is probably slightly below market value, but considering he's a restricted free agent, in my opinion, it's a very fair contract for him. Option number three is Victor Cruz decides to hold out. I'm not showing up until I get the contract extension that I think I deserve. Now, if he does that, he's going to destroy all collateral and goodwill he has from Giant fans. His star will plummet from the sky as quickly as possible. And for a guy that understands and appreciates in a good way, I'm not saying this in a cynical way, but understands and appreciates his popularity, his connection to the fans. He's from the area. He loves the area. He loves the people here. I don't think that's something Victor would do. So in my opinion, in the next few weeks, I think Victor Cruz will sign that long-term contract extension. That's just my opinion.
Look, good stuff. We don't need another Darrell Revis here. Victor, if you're listening, take the money and get to work.
Well, great.
I got one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got one more question. You mentioned earlier about Dallas trading down or trading up to try to get a better draft pick with New York. Them being an arch rival to us, I don't see that happening.
Well, honestly, I don't think they have to trade up or down. Just drafting where they draft, which is right before the Giants pick. And I really think both teams need offensive linemen. Both teams can use some help on the defensive line. And both teams can use some help in the secondary. So I think their needs do overlap. And I think you're going to see, you know, maybe at least a 1 point in the draft over the next, you know, 3 days when the draft takes place next week. You're going to see the Cowboys pluck somebody off the board that the Giants might want.
Okay, I expect to see you in New York, John, okay, to make stuff happen, okay?
I will do what I can. I appreciate it, Greg.
All right, good show. Take it easy. Let's
thanks,
go, Big Blue.
All right, thanks, Greg. And remember, folks, just on Victor Cruz, one more thing. Restricted free agent tender this year. Franchise next year, franchise the year after. So if the Giants want Victor Cruz for the next 3 years, they can have him. And he ain't going anywhere. So keep that in mind. Final call of the show. This guy loves wrapping up the show. Dave in Rochester. Dave, now, I'm insulted because you called up and you said, is Dottino hosting? And I heard your audible groan and a and not to mention the curse word that followed. So I'm a little upset with you, but I put you on the air anyway.
I didn't mean to drop a bomb. I'm sorry. I didn't think you were listening. I didn't know you could hear. I'm sorry. You know I love you.
Dave, I hear everything.
Well, I just heard at the beginning of the show that maybe the Tino's going to be on, so I got to get my rant ready.
Now, Dave,
that's all it was.
It's fine. What's going on, man? It's all good.
Hey, man, I just wanted to check quickly about the schedule, and I know we talked about the Eagles a little bit, but I want to get your point on Eagles. We got Eagles game 5. We got Eagles game 8.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Chip. I don't know if you've seen on ESPN, but Chip Kelly's working the Eagles nuts. And I'm thinking there's going to be – and I think it could be against the Giants, especially if the Giants can give the Eagles a beatdown, maybe not week 5, but maybe week 8. Determining the Eagles' schedule, say they're – maybe not at week 8, they're 4 wins and 3 losses, something to that effect. What if they only have 2 wins? Can you see maybe Vic at that point against the Giants week 8 maybe getting benched? Is that his point week 8?
Well, I don't know if there's any guarantee that Michael Vick starts the season for Philadelphia. I know he said the other day, this is my team, I expect to start. But Chip Kelly is being brought in to do things his way. And he's bringing in his system, and they're going to let Chip Kelly do what he wants. So if Chip Kelly finds that in training camp, Michael Vick's not the best quarterback, he's not going to start him. And I think ownership's going to say, Chip, do whatever you want. That's why we brought you in here. So in my opinion, is it possible? Sure. But honestly, and my gut instinct tells me, I don't think Michael Vick's the starting quarterback week 1 for Philadelphia. That's just me, though.
Really?
Yep.
Well, at 33, you can see Chip Kelly's putting heart monitors on him during practice while they sleep. He's giving them business.
Yeah, they're doing that. They're serving them the smoothies after practice. Look, Chip Kelly does things a different way. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see how quickly the Eagles get used to his system. And the Giants have him relatively early. They have him in week 5, you mentioned, then they have him again in week 8. And for the Giants' sake, from their perspective, they're probably hoping maybe they haven't figured out Chip Kelly's system quite yet, and they're not going to be quite as good as they are, say, later in the year.
Gotcha. All right, man, thanks. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, Dave. I will tell Tina you said hello.
All right, thanks. See ya.
All right, take it easy. And we'll make sure we put Paul on for Dave next week. So now we have a Pat Halen fan club. And now we have a Paul Dottino fan club, and Dave is the captain of that. There's no question. I only have hate clubs. I don't have fan clubs. I'm okay with that, though. Everybody, great job on the phones. Thank you to Tony Pauline from DraftInsiders.net. Did a great job. Great job on Twitter as well. I should mention a couple of the tweets I responded to you guys while that interview was going on. But stand by. I will read off some of the tweets. Some of you guys had some good ones, some of our constant tweeters here on Giants.com. Let's take a look. Well, first of all, my man Marwan out there reminded me that it was not Matt Bryant that missed the field goals in Seattle. It was Jay Feely, and I should have remembered that. And I wasn't positive it was Bryant, but that's the name that I remembered. I went with it. I was wrong, and that's a bad job out of me. I should have known that off the top of my head without having to look it up. So, yes, Jay Feely missed those kicks in Seattle, not Matt Bryant. Go through this. Mike Farmer reminds me that Bradshaw did have foot problems going back to college, maybe even high school. And I remembered his off-the-field problems. I did not remember his foot problems off the top of my head. But there you go with that. My man at GiantLB56. One stretch he thinks might be tough is home versus Philly October 6th at Chicago, short week October 10th. I'll say, yeah, short turnarounds and things like that are always problematic. So I think that could be a problem. My man Marcus Erickson likes the bye week in week 9, but he also points out, we're done with both the Eagles and the Cowboys before we play our first game against Washington, which I think is interesting, and I think that's pretty funny. And he also doesn't like the division game in week 1. I don't like the division game week 1 either. To me, week 1's exciting no matter who you're playing, so let's save the division games for later in the year. But they went with the division game 2 weeks in a row, 2 years in a row, so that's fine. Everybody, great job on the phones, great jobs on Twitter as well. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for sending in your messages. Thank you to Tony Pauline as well. For joining us this morning, have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday for more Giants talk about the schedule, draft, and everything else big blue. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com.